Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. Are you wondering, what is life going to be once we get back to work, once businesses start opening? Well, businesses are slowly starting to open, depending on what city you're living in. Joining us this morning is to talk about our future as a country, your future, and what can you do right now to make it a better place inside your head, because that's where it all begins. Gina Spriggs is joining us this morning. You can go to ginaspriggs.guru. Good morning, Gina. How are you?
Good morning, Francine.
How are the small businesses out there? Because you're a small business, a local business. How's it going?
Oh, my. So we have had to really adjust to the fact that we are not able to take in our clients. So our clients are used to having an experience. It's all about what they're seeing and this whole beautiful experience that they have when they come into Curio Craft and Conjure. And because we don't have that experience, our business has reduced a good 80% because of the fact that people cannot have that same experience. So it's been quite a challenge.
And we do have to mention that Gina Spriggs is the owner of Curio Craft and Conjure right in Noda, which is probably the best location you can have. But during COVID, if nobody can come, you have to spread your wings online.
Exactly. And I have to say that that is one of the things that has helped us in terms of maintaining any business through COVID-19. Our clients are watching us on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, and we're still having a conversation and a dialogue with clients, and we're really trying to help keep their spirits up and do what we do in the store online, and that has significantly improved our online sales, which was quite a lovely surprise because our customers were still wanting to support us in that way. And so for that, we are very grateful.
And not long ago, I saw you on television and saw your whole story, not your whole story, but part of your story, which is probably a piece of everyone's story if they own a small business in Charlotte.
Yes. The challenge has been the funding. So the landlords still want their rent, rightly so, because we're taking up space. But in the meantime, it's illegal for these small businesses to be open. So is it appropriate for us to pay rent when we can't be open? And so we've had some challenges around the funding, whether it's with the bank or whether it was with the Small Business Administration, because this unprecedented event has had so many moving parts where one day I applied for a loan with Bank of America and was turned down immediately because even though I have 6 or 7 bank accounts with them, I did not have a business credit card. And because of that, initially, I was turned down. Then fast forward, the rules changed. And so they tweaked the rules so that because I did have a business checking account, I was able to get some funds. And that took a good 6 weeks. And so what we're seeing here is that, you know, what you can't do as a small business owner, and even if you have a business where you have online courses, you cannot give up because the rules are changing daily. And what was a no one day can be a yes the next day. Now, I am not going to sit here and tell you, Francine, that the yeses that I have received at this point is going to cover all of my bills, but I will say that it's better than nothing.
Even the pure essence of mail, right? Deliveries, and Amazon was the, you know, they were the savior with the 2-day delivery. Now they're not.
Well, you're absolutely right. And so what we've been relying on is the United States Post Office, and that the United States Post Office has been our friend because Amazon has changed their rules as well for, you know, for good reason. You know, the thing is that everybody is changing how they're working throughout this pandemic daily. You know, whether you're a big part of a big business or a small business, whether you're considered an essential business or not, everyone has bills to pay. Your utilities don't stop coming in. Your rent bills don't start coming in. Your mortgage bills don't start coming in. And it's really something that everybody's dealing with. And so how we respond to it is really where it's at. You know, not getting caught up in the fear, not getting caught up in the anger, where, you know, it's certainly appropriate to be afraid and to be angry, but these feelings don't help us, Francine. And so I have found personally that the self-care of the people in my sphere of influence, so I tell my kids, you know, you have to make sure you're taking care of you. Stop looking at the news. Stop reading about all of this because this is not helping you. Every day in my house, we would get up and swap notes. Did you see what so-and-so said? Did you hear about this, that, or the other? And what we were doing is we were getting caught up in the fear. And getting caught up in fear doesn't help anybody. We become reactive. And so what we had to do as a family, and I believe we all have the opportunity to do this, is to step back and say, how am I going to help myself with this thing? And the first thing you have to do is unplug from social media. You have to unplug from the news. I'm not saying to remain ignorant. I'm just saying schedule your doses. Don't keep it on full swing 24/7 because you'll get sucked into this whirlwind of fear and anger, and it doesn't help with anything. And if anything, to be honest with you, it's scientifically proven that when we are stressed out, there is a hormone, the stress hormone, cortisol, raises in our bodies, and it actually makes us more susceptible to illness. And so our opportunity is to make sure that we're being selfful. You know, and I love to use this word, selfful, as opposed to selfish, because people believe that when you're taking care of you, you're being selfish. But I think that's exactly what we are all being called to do right now. Take care of you.
I like it. I like those steps. I'm not sure if they went in this order, but did you say step back, unplug, reset, and come back in a calm, responsible way of our new self?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If you want to respond, you don't want to react. You know, a lot of the things that we're seeing in the media and in social media, it makes us angry. Oh, you know, I can't believe that so-and-so said that. Can't believe this, that, or the other thing. And the thing is, I say this because I was in that, right? So I'm not saying I'm holier than thou. What I was recognizing was what it was doing to me. And so when I took the opportunity to say, okay, I'm responsible for what I'm feeding myself, what I'm feeding myself, not just food-wise, but visually, emotionally, when I realized that I could put myself on a better diet, a media diet, and I had to really cut out the, you know, a lot of the media is like, you just want to cut it out. And so I was restricting myself in terms of social media and media so that I could actually give myself what was going to feel good for me, what was going to help me feel hopeful, what was going to help me feel happy, and what was going to help me maintain a clear head so that I could respond as opposed to react.
Yes, exactly. And we have to do that as individuals. We need to teach our family as a unit. And as a company, we have to set the precedence of what is the energy going to feel like when you walk into my business, when things do open, so that everyone feels a little more positive. And I'll just be a little selfish here. And since you said put on that media diet where you're not listening to too much news, I had to put myself on a limit of one customer service call per day. Like you yeah. just kind of lose it. It's just a vicious circle.
Yeah. And so, and the thing is how you, you know, this is really, it's a self-care thing, but I think that if each of us as individuals are taking care of ourselves, then we are modeling what people can do. And it's not just taking care of ourselves and just being completely selfish. I say self-soul because, you know, when you're on a plane, they always say, says, and if the plane starts to go down, you put the air mask on first before you put it on your children, right? And the logic is that you have to make sure that you're going to be there so that you can actually take care of your children. And so that's what we all are being called to do right now, to put on our own oxygen, to put on our masks so that we can take care of ourselves. And in taking care of ourselves, we can take care of others. I saw something on social media yesterday where somebody was having a rent party for a friend of hers who was going through challenging times because she wasn't getting any income. And so I donated to this person's rent party. It was an online rent party. And when I received the thank you from the customer, the store customer, she was like, thanks so much. And, you know, I want to help you with X, Y, and Z. I said, I want you to know that not only did you do something good for your friend, but you reminded me that we're all in this together. And it was my honor to be able to donate what I could. And so what I think when we put on our mask, when we are helping ourselves and responding in a way that's healthy for us, then we remember, wait a minute, there might be people that were where I was yesterday. Let me lend a hand here.
Mm.
And so that's when we can reconnect and come back to the unity that I really feel like COVID-19 has disrupted.
Right. So if you had to, I know you wrote a book called Shape Your Life. I know you wrote a book called Intuitive Tarot Workbook. I know that you do a lot of energy work. I know that the store, the local store here in Charlotte, North Carolina, is all about that Curio Craft and Conjure. And it's C-U-R-I-O, Curio, Craft and Conjure. Gina Spriggs is joining us this morning. You can go to ginaspriggs.guru. Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about the future. Should we worry about if the federal government can figure this out?
That's such a great question, Francine, because I think that we are all being called to task here. The first thing that we can definitely see is that we must be self-reliant. And so in being self-reliant, we have to be very, very mindful of how we are choosing to respond to the information that's around us. So that's first and foremost. We also have to recognize that, you know, this is a first even from my perspective, and I'm not a politician and I'm not a historian, but from my perspective, this is a first for even our government. So how they are responding, is their perspective is going to be different than ours. I think that we can all agree on one thing, and that is that we have had to reset ourselves, reset our priorities, reevaluate, rethink what is the most important to us. This is one of the blessings that COVID has brought, is the fact that we have been able to stop, pause, and reset. And you know what? I actually believe that this has been a global reset, because now we are basically very, very clearly seeing, you know, who are the people that are going to band together and who are the people that I'm even going to use the word want to tear us apart. And I think that the reality is that we all want the same thing. So from my perspective, it's unity that will help us grow and prosper and flourish. It is not dissension. And so when you find that you are around dissension or opposing views or opposing values, then that's something that we don't have to try to convert. We just want to back away. Just back away, because there is no converting. And then when it comes to the future of this country, again, I am not a politician. I tend to think that history repeats itself. I think that what we're going to see a lot of is, I'm going to say, optimistic caution. And so when I use that word, it's optimistic caution in terms of how we are dealing with our bigger businesses. You know, personally, when I was first turned down by Bank of America, my first response is, I do not want my 7 accounts to be there. Now, Bank of America care less about my 7 accounts because it's not like billions of dollars. But at the reality, I felt like I was being treated not like I was being treated like a stranger and not like a family. And so what I was able to learn from that experience is that I don't want my customers to feel like that coming into Curio, Craft, and Conjure. I want them to feel like they're at home. I want them to feel like they're part of my family. I don't want them to feel like, well, you only spent a dollar on three crystals, and so you are not valuable, right? And so this is something that I think that our opportunity is to see is that when we're looking at the future, we have to really recognize what is important to us. And we've actually gotten a really clear idea of what's important to us now. What's important to us is family. People have spent more quality time with their family. What's important to us is our health. You know, one of the things that people have been able to do was take better care of themselves at this point of time, to the point of fudginess. And you know, the thing is that, you know, as I've definitely gained some weight since I've been in the house, and you know what, I'm okay with it because I have had the time to rest. I have had the time to put my feet up. I was tired. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that when people are asked a question, if you could do if you had all the money in the world and you could do anything you want to do, what would you want to do? And most people say they want to go to a beach someplace and they want to have a drink with an umbrella in it. And the reason why people have that response is because we're tired. So if anything, this whole COVID pandemic has given us the opportunity to rest, many of us. And as opposed to being fearful, take advantage of that opportunity to rest. And so I think that in the time of rest, we have been able to get clear on what our priorities are. And then this is going to help us create and co-create the futures that we desire by aligning ourselves with that which honors our spirit and honors our person. And I think that this is important. I can tell you that one of the things that I personally miss more than anything is just connecting with my friends, going to a restaurant, having a glass of wine with my friends. And so this is helping me see what's important in my life. And I can tell you that what's important in my life outside of paying my bills is making sure that I have the connections with those that feed my spirit. And so when I look at the future of the country and I look at helping how we can help co-create the future for the country, it really starts at home. And so doing the right things at home, what makes you feel good, what brings you more back to yourself, these are the types of things that are going to help you co-create your future. So it's not necessarily about me sitting here predicting it. It's about you co-creating the future that you desire. Does that make sense, Francine?
Creating the future that you desire because, okay, let's rewind, right, and say that we've all been programmed to think a certain way, act a certain way, and do certain things. But now that you have free will, what are you going to do with it?
Right. And that's where we have to get out of the rabbit hole of social media and the complaining about who's doing what right and who's not doing what right and all of the things that really make you angry. I think that a lot of the things that are triggering people are not triggering them or inspiring them to do anything better. It's actually keeping them in that same energetic cesspool that is not going to help them. And that's what we really want to move away from. We don't want to stay. It's like a person wearing diapers that are soiled. Why would you want to stay? You know, so why would we want to stay in this quagmire of funk? Let's give ourselves the opportunity to move away from it.
I love this scenario of, I just got a visual of an adult wearing a soiled diaper and not wanting to take it off because they want to sit in the stench of their own knowledge, right? And we can see, but it's funny how we can see that in other people, but we can't see it in ourselves. What's up with that?
Yes. Well, it's funny. I have to say, you know, I think that sometimes we get caught, you know, we're human. We are human beings. We are not saints. So we are allowed to have this human experience. That said, sometimes we have to catch ourselves. When we realize that we're being triggered over and over again by the same things and it's not making us feel good, then why would you continue to expose yourself to that trigger? And so this is not about not being aware. It's about taking care of yourself. It's about taking care of what you are allowing yourself to be exposed to. And it's also about making a difference where you can. It's so easy to complain about what somebody is or isn't doing. Well, what are we doing? you know, what are you doing personally to help somebody? What are you doing that's going to make somebody's day? What are you doing that's going to help somebody out who might be in need right now? Because the reality is there's always someone who is doing worse off than we are. I remember when I was a kid, my mother, and I would tell my mother, I'm bored. And she would say, well, then do something for somebody. And I was like, you know, I don't get it. But, you know, I wanted her to tap dance off the table or something. But what I realized was that I felt good when I did something for someone. And so I learned at a very young age that doing things for people actually makes you feel good. So if you are feeling right now in a really, you're in a bad place, you know, this whole thing has got you scared, then do something for someone. Do something for someone who you know can use the support. It is a perfect way to get you out of your head.
Right. It's like wake up out of the funk. And luckily, you know, depending on your personality, I believe that this COVID-19 is a positive thing when it comes to people self-discovering things they needed to do 20 years ago, right? We are now having a chance to look at ourselves and discover some things about ourselves. And when we stay home with our kids and our hubby and our wife, we are discovering who we really, really, really are. So I'm not sure if our creatives in the world are doing better with this COVID-19 isolation / stay-at-home order or not. I think we're doing pretty good. I'm a social butterfly, but I'm finding my way. I love people, but I love to be by myself as well.
Yeah, I think that we need to, I think sometimes we spend too much time outside of ourselves. I am a social person, but I also need my personal space. And so while I certainly miss my friends, I've really been taking advantage of the personal space that this COVID has given us the opportunity to take advantage of. I mean, we have time for ourselves, time for our thoughts, time for us to do the things that we felt like we needed to do. And, you know, it's so interesting because I have found that there have been so many people who have been saying, well, you know, do something, you know, learn a language, write a book. And I'm like, how about take a break? Just take a break. You know, I don't think that self-care means that we have to continuously try to accomplish something and we're constantly chasing after this carrot that seems to be miles and miles away from us. I think that what we have to do is anything that makes you feel like more of yourself. And so, you know, from my perspective, when it comes down to self-care, it really is a three-part process. It's care, you want to take care of yourself, and that means rest. You want to have your daily mindset. You want to make sure that you're waking up each day and you're saying, okay, you know, as opposed to worrying, you know, don't grab your phone and look at all the crap that's out there on in terms of, you know, COVID-19 and what, you know, this country's doing or what that country's doing. Just literally give yourself some time to say, okay, I'm going to count my blessings right now. Gratitude is one of the best energies that we can possibly give our spirit. And anything that allows you to do time. So if you want to read, then read. But doing something just for you. So that's where the care comes in. And the second part would be clearing. Clearing out a closet, clearing out a dresser, clearing out your pantry, clearing out something. Because clearing will help you make room for something new. What I have found, there's a beautiful Chinese proverb, and it's so useful in so many areas. And it basically says, only an empty bowl can be filled. Now, basically, when you clear the clutter from your space, you're also clearing the energy that is along with it. And so you're making room for new. And so I'll tell people when I'm doing an intuitive tarot reading, if you want more love in your life, you have to clear the energy of the past love. If you want more clothes, you have to clear out your closet. If you want more money, you have to pay your bills. The universe works in terms of balance. And so we are the co-creators of that balance, and we have to initiate it. The final piece in the self-care is coaching. And, you know, when I say coaching, yes, for some people it means reading a book and learning a new skill. For me, I have to tell you, Francine, it was literally figuring out how I was going to do my hair. I have a glam squad. I have a barber. I have a hairstylist. And then, of course, I've got my manicurist and pedicurist, and all of these services were not available to me. And so I became my own glam squad once again and learned how to use a razor on the sides of my head and twist my dreadlocks. I had to do these things, and that was where my coaching came in. So it wasn't about learning a new, well, actually, yes, it was about learning new skills. I had to learn how to do a buzz cut and learn how to do my hair, and I was even doing my son's hair. And so in this coaching, you know, I'm going to tell you, I spend a good $200 a month on just my beauty routine. And I saved that $200 because, not because I wanted to, because I had to. And so I learned something new. And now maybe what I'll do is not go to these guys so religiously and take care of myself and just go to them on special occasions. And so it helped me be a little bit more self-sufficient. And that's where my coach, my personal coaching came in. But, you know, when I say the three step pieces of self-care being care, clear, and coaching, this is in a way that makes sense for you, in a way that makes you feel like more like yourself. This is not dictated by anyone but you.
Oh, I like
and
it.
And that's what I think is very important, because people are always looking for leaders, and we have to remember that if we just sit down quietly, we will find that leadership within ourselves, and we can lead ourselves, do the right thing.
Even if we were told as children, you're not good enough, or you're told as an adult, you're not good enough, you have to almost erase that, reset it, right? Erase it, reset it, yes. And tell yourself what you are, what you really are, what you want to be.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting that you bring that up, because I do believe that this has been a time for even a reset in that. I think that people have found that they are given the opportunity now to really think about what's important to them, because they are seeing how the businesses they work for or the businesses that are in their sphere of influence are treating them and making choices based on that. You know, it's really interesting, but the way people act in horrible times really tells you what their true nature is. And so being able to look around you to see who's doing what in times like these really gives you a clue to who is who. And do you want, you know, if you can basically determine if you want these people on your quote-unquote team or not. And I have definitely made some serious decisions in terms of who's on my team and who's not on my team. And it's been a beautiful, eye-opening experience. And, you know, with a side order of grief, you know, not for nothing. I mean, there are people that I thought were friends. And I'm realizing, yeah, you're so afraid of this thing that we can't even connect. And we obviously, I'm not motivated by fear. You know, I certainly appreciate the initial fear, but when you can't move away from it and you're not allowing yourself to move away from it, it basically is it's a whole other billy wicket. So the reality is that, you know, this is a really interesting time. And I think that we need to take advantage of this time. It's not fun because we've never experienced it before. So it's definitely a change. But at the same time, is it really that bad? We're all safe. We're fine. We're fine. You know, when I'm talking to you, you're fine. Whoever is listening to this, they're fine. I'm fine. Am I saying that people aren't getting sick? Of course they are. I'm not saying that COVID isn't real. I'm not saying that it hasn't killed people and that people haven't fallen ill. Hell, one of my own sisters had COVID. So, you know, I'm not saying that it's not a real thing. I'm just saying, where are you placing your focus? Where are you placing your energy? And how are you going to act after this? And how are you acting now? How are you helping?
I like it. Where are you? That's the biggest question. That's the $1 million question. Where are you focusing your energy? Is it in fear?
Yeah.
Is it in resetting? Is it in getting clear? Because each day can be different, right? We can have a goal each day. Just write down 30, 31 words, and each day is going to be something that you focus on. Interesting.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It is interesting because I think that with this whole thing, it's not, you want to remain fluid and give yourself permission to be fluid. There may be days where you're feeling, you know what, this is great. This is the best time I've had. I've had my feet up. I'm watching every Netflix movie I wanted to watch. You know, I can't fit my pants, but hey, when I go back to work, they'll fit again. you know, whatever your attitude is. But then you might get up the next day and say, you know what, I want my life back. I will say one thing. Nothing will ever be the same. We are way too aware now of how fragile so many things are. Of just, you know, even with recognizing that this pandemic has been, is an airborne thing, and there is no way, there's no way you can possibly keep everything clean. You're going to the gas station, you're touching something that a gazillion other people touch. Even if you have a mask and gloves on, there are a zillion other ways that you can certainly catch this thing. And how there, you know, how long it lives on something, and all of the information that we've been given, some of it contradicting the others. The one thing that we do know, and that is that we have the same last page in the book, and that last page is the end. We die. And so for me, the question is, how do I want to live? How do I want to live? How, what's the footprint that I want to leave on this planet? How do we, so a time like this really puts death in the forefront of people's minds. And while that can be scary for some, as a three-time cancer survivor, I can tell you that it's only a situation like a life-threatening illness or a pandemic that makes you really think about how you want to live. And so make your life count. And, you know, make it count for yourself and make it count for the people in your sphere of influence. You know, you might not be able to pull up and travel to wherever they are and sit by their bedside, but you can call them, you can write them, you can reach out. And any, you know, with all of the technology that's available today, you can totally reach out. And so what I think is a really beautiful thing that I have been seeing is how people have been reaching out and connecting and supporting each other. And it's a beautiful thing to witness, and it's a beautiful thing also to be a part of.
Three-time cancer survivor you are, so I'm wondering if our cancer survivors are, they already know how to live differently, right? They already got the memo. They wrote the book. They wrote a book on it, right? They know how to eat different.
So for me, it was, in case you didn't get the memo the first two times, here's another one. And you know, and the interesting thing is that at this point, you know, I'm a good year out from my last, I'll say, scare. I will say that every single time I just realize, you know, every single time that I've been diagnosed with cancer, I realize how important my life is, not just in terms of how I live it, not just for myself, but for my kids. Because I want them to see that, you know, you got to keep it moving. And it doesn't mean that you can't take care of yourself. I do. You have no idea all the things that I do to take care of myself. But it doesn't mean that I stop living my life. It doesn't mean that I stop having fun. It doesn't mean that I stop caring. It doesn't mean any of those things. And so when I think that, you know, it's just like when you hear about a movie star dying or a relative dying, everybody goes, oh my God, it's so horrible. And then within 3 days, they go back to normal, whatever normal is for them. Unless it was really close. Unless it was a spouse or a parent or a sibling or a really, really good friend. These are when we really, really question how we're living. Or, of course, if you've had the experience of a life-threatening illness yourself. And so I think that this pandemic has actually helped people be in the shoes of those like myself who have, you know, had that close experience with this. Because it really helps you. It's an invitation to life.
Mm.
A close relationship with death is an invitation to life.
Say it one more time.
A close relationship with death is an invitation to life.
That's so powerful. Wow.
And it's true.
I am speechless.
So there's the first.
You know, we'll look back on, I hope we don't have another COVID-19, right? You know, they're like, oh, it's going to happen again. Okay, whatever. It may, right? We may get a cold. We may. We may get a splinter in our finger. We may. Anything could happen. But right now you have control over your thoughts. And that's critical, because if you didn't have control over your thoughts, then we got real problems.
Yeah. And when you really look at a lot of how we are raised as a culture, there is this book called The Dumbing Down of America. And it basically talks about everything from the time that we are children, from vaccinations to education, public schools, to just everything that basically turns us into people. And the choices that we feel like we have, we, you know, let's just say Republican or Democrat, we really don't have. There's really no choices. And I think that the thing is, there is this illusion of power that we've been given, and what we have to do, and this opportunity with COVID-19 is allowing us to do this, is to unplug so that we can rediscover who we are, rediscover what makes us happy, rediscover ourselves. I think that sometimes we were chasing other people's dreams and making them rich, by the way.
Yeah.
And now it's time for us to figure out what's going to make us happy. And just because you're rich doesn't mean you're happy. And also, you know, rich is relative.
Rich is relative. You know, after this COVID-19 situation, I know I've got to let you go in a little bit. I know this COVID situation has made us understand why the teacher said our kids were bad, right? Parents are like waking up like, you really are bad, or you really are amazing. Whatever word you want to use. But some of us, just some of us, will be headed to the divorce court because this is not working at all. But you know what? It's a wake-up call. Maybe you weren't supposed to be together in the first place. Maybe you were only supposed to have these kids. Maybe this was just someone in your life for a season, right?
Yes, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Lord knows I've had a lot of those.
Yeah, so I enjoy you so much. We got to come over to the store, Curio Craft and Conjure. Curio Craft and Conjure. It is an experience to walk into this local business right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. People come from far, far beyond to visit you. But we can get online and click something, and that's Gina Spriggs, Dada Guru. What can you leave us with, my author, my fabulous tarot? Are you still reading tarot cards? Because you are pretty much the best.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, I have an online course that is called 12 Steps to Tarot Mastery. I have another one that is on the Daily Ohm called The Art of Intuitive Tarot. And that course is on a sliding scale. So you can pay as little as $50 for that course, and you will have the 21-day experience of me as your teacher. And I will tell you, it is definitely worth the money if you are into tarot. Now, I love doing reading, but I will tell you that you can do your own reading. So if you go to GinaSpriggs.guru and you see the symbology on the homepage, there's an opportunity for you to do a little quiz that allows you to do your own reading. And it basically will reveal the talents and skills that you have, but more importantly, what your healing opportunities are. And you can do that for free right on GinaSpriggs.guru.
You think of everything. You really do. The Daily Ohm. Is that just OM?
Yep. Daily OM.
The Daily OM.
That's Mary.
Awesome.
I have three courses on Daily Ohm, and I will say The Art of Intuitive Tarot has probably had well over 20,000 people take that course. And I have to say that I've heard from at least a couple thousand of them telling me how amazing it was for them. So if any of your listeners are into learning how to read tarot, it is definitely worth the investment.
20,000 people. Wow. People are curious. That's all I'm going to say. People are curious and they want to know. They want the answers.
Stay curious.
Stay curious. Hashtag Gina Spriggs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Francine. Have a great day.
All right. Your 1 hour of Public Talk Radio is up. Where the time goes, I have no idea. But what I do know is I am your hostess of the mostest. I will be back next weekend. Same time, same station. Until we meet. And one day we will. You have a great week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francine Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now. See you next week.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.